Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Find God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Orlando Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
Well, last night I started talking about how to find God's will for your life. And like I said earlier, this, I'm sure, has inspired people. We had probably 70% of the audience last night stand because they didn't know for sure that they are doing what God called them to do. And I tell you, that's a blessing that people were willing to humble themselves and admit it and make a commitment that I'm going to find out. But at the same time, it's sad to think that people live for decades just basically kind of going their own way and hoping that it's pleasing to God when God wants to reveal himself to you. I really made a point last night of saying that before you were formed in the womb, God had a purpose for your life. And it's not up to you to just do what you want to and ask God to bless it and hope that it was pleasing to him. God wants to reveal himself to you. And when you receive this, which I believe a lot of people really received this teaching last night and made a commitment that they want to know what God's will for them is, when you do that, it raises all kinds of questions. Larry and I were talking as we walked down here today about, it'll be interesting in heaven to see what could have been, what should have been, what God's will was. Like these 50 million babies that have been aborted since Roe versus Wade in the United States. What was God's plan for them? What great discoveries would they have made? You know, just in the natural, you can think about if we had 50 million people paying into Social Security right now, we wouldn't have a Social Security problem. We wouldn't have a lot of problems that we've got in this nation. And those things are just obvious. But what about their potential? Some of these people were going to be great leaders. Who knows what God's plan was for their life? And they've been aborted and never even given the opportunity. And so this raises questions about can you mess up God's will so much that you can't get back to where God wanted you to be? And honestly, I don't have a good answer for this. I was talking to a couple of people out there this morning, and they were asking me, they married some people that, I don't know all the circumstances, but the husband isn't as excited about the Lord as they are. And now they made a commitment. They want to find God's will. But what do I do about my husband? What do I do about my mate? We can get our lives so complicated that it's hard to figure out how do I get from here to over there. And you know what? I had to tell him. I said, look, I'm not insensitive to what you're saying, but I do know that God had an original purpose, and you may not have followed it, and it may be hard at first to recognize that I've been doing some things that maybe they're good, but they aren't God. And there has to be some adjustments. And sometimes you can't just unscramble eggs. Sometimes you just got to deal with it. And you got to go on. And so I want to share some things with you today that hopefully will help answer a couple of these questions and help deal with some things. It's hard to, get into what might have been, could have been. And I think that in some ways it could be detrimental for you to start thinking about, man, what, if I would have followed God, what if I hadn't have turned back here and all of these things? Those things, Satan can beat you up over that. And so I want to share some things that hopefully will help you today. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 13. And this is an amazing passage of Scripture. God has really spoken to me through this. But in 1 Samuel chapter 13, this is right after Saul was anointed to be king. And if you aren't familiar with that story, it was really miraculous. Saul was just a guy out looking for some of his livestock that had been lost. And he decided he'd go ask the prophet Samuel about, did he have any word from God about where his lost donkeys were? And when he went to see Samuel, Samuel had been told by the Lord that tomorrow I'm going to send you a man who will be the ruler over the nation and you'll make him the next king. And so Saul walked in. Samuel already had this huge feast prepared and a lot of food set aside for Saul. And he gave it all to Saul and took Saul home, talked to him, and said, you're the one who's going to be king. And Saul couldn't believe it. Saul didn't want to be king. And yet God gave him all of these supernatural things. I mean, like 5 or 6 things. You're going to leave here and you'll meet 3 men coming down from a hill, and they'll be carrying a bottle of wine and a loaf of bread, and they'll do all of this. And I mean, he gave him so many miraculous signs that it was impossible for it to have just happened coincidentally. And when Saul left there, every one of those things came to pass. And the scripture says that God gave Saul another heart. Boy, there's some great teaching in all of that. Those are great things. But Saul was anointed. And when he was called out, Samuel did this in a real dramatic way. He called all 12 of the tribes of Israel by, and he chose the tribe of Benjamin. And then he took the tribe of Benjamin and took all of the fathers, all of the heads of the families, and brought them by. And he chose the tribe of Kish. And then he had all of the people in Kish's family come by, and he chose Saul. And Saul wasn't there. And so he inquired, and he says, "Where is he?" And the Lord said, "He's hiding." And they went, and he was hiding in a basket because he was so embarrassed. And Samuel went and found him in this basket and took him out of the basket and stood him there. And he says, "Behold your king." And the people thought, "This is going to be our king. The guy's been hiding in a basket." And so anyway, there was a lot of people that didn't accept him, but there was a situation where Nahash, this foreign king, came down and attacked one of the cities. And Saul, the Spirit of the Lord, came upon him, and he took a yoke of oxen and cut it into 12 pieces and sent one piece to each one of the tribes. And he says, "I'm going to do this to your animals if you don't come and follow me." And the fear of God fell on all of those people, and they turned out as if it was one man. Every person came out and they defeated this king, and it saved the nation, and it was a tremendous victory. And so then the whole nation rallied after Saul, and he became this great king and was very powerful. And so that's the background of all of this. And in chapter 13, it says Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him out 3,000 men, and he began to start governing the nation. And then it says that the Philistines came down in verse 5, and in verse 6, when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. So here the Philistines had come down against them, and boy, Saul and the Israelites were in bad shape, and they were hiding. Some of them defected and went over to other nations for protection, and it was a crisis situation. In verse 8, it says, "And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him." So Samuel had told Saul that, "I'm coming," and he was going to offer a sacrifice and implore the Lord for blessing as they went out to fight their enemies. And Saul waited the set time, but Samuel didn't show up on time. And you know, I don't understand exactly whether Samuel missed it, or possibly this was God that delayed Samuel just to see if Saul was going to do the right thing or not. You know, it doesn't tell us who was right and who was wrong, but I can guarantee you Saul was wrong in overstepping his bounds and stepping into the office of a priest. In Leviticus chapter 10, I believe it is, even 2 of Aaron's sons who were priests and who were anointed by God to offer sacrifices, if you didn't do it with a pure heart, if you did it with wrong motives, fire came out from the altar and killed Nadab and Abihu. And so these were priests that were called to do it. But if you weren't holy, I guarantee you, it was a dangerous thing. Now, here's a man who wasn't even anointed to be a priest. He was anointed to be king, and he totally overstepped his bounds and took authority upon him that he didn't have, and he offered a sacrifice. And so that's the background of this. In verse 9, it says, "And Saul said, 'Bring me hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings.' And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, 'What hast thou done?' And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. He forced himself. You know, this terminology means that he knew it was wrong. He knew he wasn't supposed to do it. He had to force himself is what he's saying. And what he did was basically say, I normally wouldn't have done this, but the situations dictated it. And so he was forced into doing it. You know, this is a, it reveals a character flaw. And I tell you, this is true of many, many, many people today. You could apply this to what I was talking about earlier about giving. There's people who know that they're supposed to give. But yet, in a hard situation, well, I just couldn't help it. I had to have this money. There are people that don't have any integrity, and they will violate what they know is wrong if they think that that is to their immediate best interest. But you know, you need to be a person of integrity that if God tells you to give, then you know what? That's non-negotiable. You just give. And if you starve, well, that's okay. You're going to give. Thank you for that thunderous silence. There's not many people that run their life this way. It's like, well, I want to do this, and I would do it if. See, this is what Saul was saying. I knew I wasn't supposed to do it, but the Philistines were going to come down. I hadn't entreated the Lord. I hadn't offered a sacrifice. There's always an excuse. If you are the type of person that an excuse can make you deviate from what's right, then you will. But you just need to get to a place where you drive a stake in the ground and say, this is non-negotiable. You know, I was using that example one time, and I said something about driving a stake in the ground, and I had a person come up to me who was an Indian, and he says, do you know where that comes from? And I said, no. And I forgot what tribe of Indian, but he says that the tribe of Indian that he descended from, when they got into a battle and it looked like that they were outnumbered and that the people, the Indians might want to run, what they would do is drive a stake in the ground and tie themselves to that stake so that they couldn't run and they had to stand and fight to the death.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Find God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Orlando Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1066C for CD or R3210D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU8C titled, It's Never Too Late, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to join us on the web. We have a website that I believe is second to none. There's a lot of really good things on there. There's hundreds of my teachings that are there for free downloads. You can get all of our television programs on this topic there. We have over 2,000 of my television programs that are there that you can view online. I have more than that, maybe 5,000 or 6,000 of my radio programs. We've got books. We've got a lot of things. It's just a tremendous resource. And I get comments from people constantly that say it's just changing their life just being on the website. Check it out today.